is the Ford Show, starring Dinah Shore with Peter Lynn Hayes and Robert Emmett Dolan and his orchestra. And our guest for tonight, Phil Harris. All presented by the Ford dealers and Lincoln Mercury dealers of America. And here is Dinah Shore.
She's a gal in calico down in Santa Fe. Used to have a son, DeVoe, but he rode away. Does he want her? Does he want her love? Yes, sirree. Will he win her? Will he win her love? Wait and see. Now he's with a rodeo, goes from town to town, sees most every kind of gal, every kind of gown. But who made his heart sing? Yippee-ah, yippee-oh, his little gal in calico. Yes, sirree.
Am I hoping to be roping her?
Oh, wait and see.
Yippee-yah.
He's with the rodeo.
Yippee-oh.
Goes from town to town.
Yippee-yah.
Sees most every kind of gown.
Yippee-oh.
Every kind of gown. Look who made his heart sing. Yippee-yah. Yippee-oh.
Good evening, friends. This is Dinah Shore, happy to welcome you to another Wednesday evening Ford show. Our guest tonight is a fellow you've loved on the Jack Benny Show for years, and now you can catch him on his own show, too, the hot shot himself, Phil Harris. With us again is Robert Emmett Dolan and the orchestra making beautiful music together. And here, folks, is Peter Lynn Hayes.
Hello, Dinah. Well, it's December the 18th.
Yeah, Christmas only 1 week off.
Yep, just 7 days, 168 hours, and 3,934 renditions of White Christmas. And then, of course, Santa Claus walks through that old front door.
Wait a minute. Now, front door, let's not upset a girl's beliefs here. By law, Santa Claus is supposed to come down the chimney.
Well, he can't come down Hollywood chimneys. They've got people living in them. You've seen those ads for rent one-room brick apartment, private entrance.
Peter, you sound a touch on the cynical side about Hollywood's Christmas.
Well, Dinah, it's kind of hard to feel Christmassy in this climate. At Christmas time, I want sleigh bells in the snow, not foghorns in the smog. See, I want real holly, not paper mache. Real snow instead of soap flakes. You know, Dinah, I'd go 1,000 miles to get real snow.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to go farther than that to get soap flakes. Anyway, Pete, I think Christmas is in the heart. It doesn't matter what the weather's like.
Oh, well, maybe so, but I still feel a little peculiar when I walk down the street and see Santa Claus wearing a red suit with a bare midriff.
Oh.
Which does, however, make me think of one advantage Hollywood has.
Oh, it does have one, huh?
Yes, the Santa Clauses. You see, the department stores are able to get a lot of swell movie and radio actors to play Santa Claus.
Uh-huh.
They're very good. Of course, this could lead to difficulties, too.
Meaning?
Well, say, for instance, they hire one of those horror actors to play Santa Claus. He might sound something like this.
Hello, little boy. Well, you know something? You look good enough to eat. Well, Sonny, I hope you've been a bad little boy all year. That's fine. Now, what shall Santa bring you? A yo-yo? Why that? Why don't you let Santa bring you a little guillotine? A toy. You see, a toy guillotine is very educational. It gives you a chance to use your head. Well, Sonny, you see, Santa will be around Christmas Eve, and he'll have a big bag for little boys like you. And do you know what will be in it? Hmm? Little boys like you.
I see, Dinah, that guy probably lives at the Hollywood Plasma.
Say, Pete, you know, that idea has fascinating possibilities. For instance, how would you say a news commentator would do Santa Claus?
A news commentator? Mm-hmm. How about this?
Well, what have we now? Here's a young boy who wants a bicycle. Well, a bicycle requires oil, and oil means we must consider the situation in the Middle East. Yes, indeed. What about the Middle East? Has it ever occurred to you that the Middle East is between the Near East and the Far East? Now, this is not an accident. And what about Russia? Why must the entire Russian people persist in speaking Russian? This is no accident. And what about China? China is 10,000 miles from the Middle East. This is an accident. Or is it? Perhaps. We shall see. However, Sonny, while this crisis exists, no bicycle, and good night.
Say, Pete, now tell me, how would you say a real ham would play Santa Claus?
Well, Dinah, it just happens that I have in my pocket a ham that was never really cured. An old Shakespearean actor.
What is this I see before me? A child? Hello there, you little... Hello, Sonny. Well, I understand I'm to play your living room Christmas Eve. I'll arrive at midnight and enter through the fireplace. Corny, but effective. But listen, my child, there's one thing I insist upon. If I do well Christmas Eve, I must be held over until New Year. Good day. To be or not to be. A ham descending a chimney. Trapped am I, and all because me contract contained a Santa Claus.
We've all got our eyes closed. Here's Tom Hannon with a message that'll open them.
Right, Dinah. Driving home along the highway the other evening, we came around a curve, and there by the roadside was a crowd of onlookers standing around the aftermath of a bad automobile collision. For some time, we discussed the appalling increase in accidents in our highways and what can be done about it. Well, I can tell you that Ford is doing something about it. For one thing, Ford builds into the lifeguard body the highest measure of safety possible to engineer into a car. First, the lifeguard body is built of heavy-gauge steel, welded into one strong unit. Even the doors are double-walled steel. And the lifeguard body is mounted on Ford's super-strong X-type frame, the same type frame which is used in America's highest-priced cars. You ride in fortress-like protection. Second, Ford's hydraulic king-sized brakes are the largest in the low-priced field. They could stop a car of twice the weight, swiftly, and with straight lines stopping action. These are just two reasons why people appreciate the extra safety of their new Fords. That's why it will pay you to wait for that Ford in your future.
Thank you, Tom.
Hiya, kiddies. Now, if you'll all settle down, here comes that gorgeous, magnificent Southern clown.
Phil, hi!
Thank you. I deserve it. Thank you. Oh, Dinah, my little turkey wing, my little honey child. Well, cut off my antlers and call me the yearling if it ain't good to be back with a real live Southern gal.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you're gorgeous, honey. And I'm glad to meet someone from Dixie. That's my hometown, Dixie. I love old Dixie. D-I-K-S-Y, Dixie. Oh, I love it.
Gee, I know how you feel, Phil.
Oh, it's wonderful, Dinah. It's wonderful. You really don't know how wonderful it is. Oh, I get all choked up when I look at you, baby doll.
Oh,
you just don't know, honey. You don't know what's been happening to me. I've been so lonely. I ain't been with nothing but Yankees.
Oh, there, Phil.
Oh, honey, them Yankees make me so miserable. They keep picking on me, and they've been winning all my money.
Oh. Well, how, Phil?
I've been betting on how the Civil War came out.
Yeah, I know, Philzy boy. You can relax now. It's okay.
Oh, thanks, honey, you little dove. Thank you. You
oh,
just
that's all right.
Hey, Dinah.
Huh?
Say that again.
I said, that's all right.
Well, honey, you're losing it.
What?
Your Southern accent.
Oh, well, Phil, I've been up north quite a while now.
But, Dinah, people like you and me, we can't lose our accents. How we live.
Well, Phil, you know, once you leave the land of cotton, Southern accents soon forgotten.
Look away, gal, look away. You know, I've been getting along on only two things, my accent and my talent. Now, you take away my accent, and I'm left with nothing.
Well, I wouldn't worry about your accent, Phil. Nobody's ever going to mistake you for the mad Russian.
Natch. I ain't going to get mixed up with the Russian. That's because I remain loyal to the South. Now, I never forget the South for 1 minute. Why do you think I've stayed with Jackson Benny all these years?
Because he pays you in Confederate money?
Perish the thought. He uses no money, that character. I stay with Benny nothing. Pays you off in a dark room under a 20-watt lamp. He don't use nothing. I stay with Benny for one reason. How can a man forget that he's from the South when every 2 minutes there's another fellow auctioning off tobacco? That's why I stay
You're
with
so
him.
Right.
I get saturated with good old Mason diction. That's what happens to me.
Well, Phil, what about my accent? I don't know.
I don't know, honey. I think you've been influenced by too much northern comfort. That's what I think. You've been surrounded by too many Yankees. You got too many Yankees around you. That Peter Lynn Hayes and that fella that Robert Emmett Donut or...
Dolan.
They're no good for you.
Oh, honey. Phil, you're wrong. They've been wonderful.
Look, honey, you're a southern lady, a delicate... Lovely southern lady, a flower, a tulip, a rose, and them bombs can plow you under, you know that.
Hey, now take it easy, Harris. Boy, for the first time since reading Gone with the Wind, I realized where the wind went.
Now, Peter, please, as our guest...
Peter, don't let yourself be upset by this musical buffoon.
Mr. Dolan, my instrument happens to be the saxophone. And furthermore...
Fellows, please, Robert Emmett Dolan, Peter Lynn Hayes, Phil Harris...
You see, it's six names against two. I keep trying to tell you. It don't make sense. Now, listen, Dolan, when it comes to music, you know that in this town, I'm considered tops in my field.
You only dare say that, sir, because you know Spike Jones is on the road.
Now, Bobby, please...
Wait a minute.
That's...
What makes this guy Dolan think that he's a better musician than me?
He reads music.
Oh, that's irrelevant.
A man who can't read music is not fit to mount a podium.
What are you dragging horseback riding in for, Buster? What kind of talk is that? Now, it just so happens that I conduct just as well as if I could read music.
Oh, Phil, that's not possible. After all, suppose the band makes a mistake.
Sweetie, it don't matter. I'm tone deaf. What kind of talk is that? Now, it just so happens that I conduct just as well as if I could read music.
Oh, Phil, that's not possible. After all, suppose the band makes a mistake.
Sweetie, it don't matter. I'm tone deaf. Oh,
Oh, Harris, you're hotter tonight than the floor of a Turkish bath. They've got some stuff in here that won't quit. Wait a minute. Listen, Mr. Dolan, if you want to hear how music really should be done, if you'll rouse those washboard players of yours up there and accompany me, I'll show you a few things.
Very well. Petrello, forgive me.
If you're ever down in Texas, look me up. Look me up. If you're ever down in Texas, look me up. Where the men are men and love it, and the gals are so glad of it. So if you're ever down in Texas, look me up. Everybody's gonna holler, howdy do, howdy do. Everybody there'll be saying, how are you, how are you? We raise corn for hot tamales and grow dollies for the follies. So if you're ever down in Texas, look me up. Ask anyone for Rusty, everybody knows for me. They'll tell you where I'm riding at, bar A, B, C, or D. So if you're ever down in Texas, look me up, look me up. We've got everything in Texas looking up, looking up. With the moonlight on the prairie and the gal that ain't contrary, there's a lot of fun in Texas, look me up. Ask anyone for Bill Z, they'll tell you where I'm at. They'll say that I'm in Galveston with a box back coat and a Stetson hat. So if you're ever down in Texas, look me up, look me up. We've got everything in Texas looking up. Am I right or Amarillo? Man, that state's a killer diller. So if you're ever down in Texas, look me up. Bronco ride and take some practice, or you wind up on a cactus. So if you're ever down in Texas, look me up. Where the gals are good at figures and the cowboys quick on triggers. So if you're ever down in Texas, look me up. Every gal's a raven beauty. Hip tie, tie, oh, tie. Oh, I can't wait to get back down there so I can hear it just once more. It goes like this. Don't y'all forget to come back. Sure glad you come by. Yeah. Bye now. Bye. I'm gonna build a Dolby Palace for my Alice down in Dallas. So if you're ever down to Texas, look me up.
Oh, it's just wonderful.
Well, you see, that makes a fellow like me a great artist, and well, I would say the number one Southern type comedian on the air. Thank you.
Well, I'm all for you, but what about a fellow named Senator Claghorn?
Claghorn? Nothing to him. Always shooting off his mouth all the time, talking. I say, somebody knocked there,
no,
I say.
Yeah, but Billy...
Somebody rattled my bangles. You ain't got your mouth open. You ain't saying nothing. You're just talking.
Yeah, but
what kind of a guy is that? I wonder he don't drive people nuts with all that chin wagging and stuff. The guy's always talking, yakety-yak. Somebody, I say, somebody knock. If there's anything I can't stand, it's a fellow who's loquacious.
He's loquacious.
Yes, dumpling, and it's vulgar. He's loquacious. Now, me, I'm a different type. High quacious.
My gracious.
You know, the only reason... Thank you, honey. I'm glad you got one in. Now, you know, the only reason that Claghorn's popular is because he calls himself the senator. People go for political characters. They call him demagogues.
Demagogues, just a minute. I think you're scared of Claghorn.
Who, me scared of Claggy? What are you talking about? Pete, that imposterous character, political character, well, I wouldn't have to fake it. Down where I come from, I could really get elected.
A musician?
Son, down my way, that is prerequisite. Sure glad to get that word out of here, boy. I've had trouble with you all day. Now, look, you know something? I'd make a great politician. Why, my name would be right up there next to Andy Jackson.
I can see it now. Ignoramus and Andy.
Now, never mind, Pete. Phil would really appeal to the folks. He could do a great campaign over the radio.
Why, I'd fracture the folks. I wish I had a chance to try to campaign.
Okay, we'll give you a chance. Folks, the next portion of our evening will be devoted to Mr. Harris's congressional campaign. Bobby, political music, please. Folks, you are listening to a broadcast on behalf of our congressional candidate, Mr. Filibuster Harris, and here is the hotshot candidate himself.
Greetings, folks, greetings, and hiya, Dinah. How do you like my new suit? It's what they call a political suit.
A political suit?
Yes, Gab Ardeen. Oh, Congress, are you in for some hilarity? Well, folks,
To start off this evening, I want you to hear a few words in behalf of my campaign from my old Southern friend, Judge Peter Lynn Beauregard.
Friends, I want to find a cabestan glory. Kill out here, our service.
Oh, what a beautiful tribute.
Yes, it was, and thank you, son, thank you. Now, friends, here's a word from my character. In behalf of my character, from my campaign manager, Colonel Peter Lynn Burns. Come in, Mr. Burns.
Thank you, folks. I've known Filibuster Harris here for a long time. Some folks say he's a horse thief. Some say he rustles cattle. Some say he embezzles from banks. Well, I asked Phil about this t'other day, and he looked straight at me with them honest eyes and said, Colonel, nobody's perfect.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Colonel. Thank you. Now a word from the man that is closest to my heart, me. Folks, I want you to know that if I'm elected, I'll be loyal to the South because I'm a part of the South. Why, even when I was sent up the river, it was the Swanee. It was the Swanee. And I swear with my hand on this copy of Gone with the Wind that I will respectably dedicate my utter functions in a firm devotion to them ideals for which our forefathers was not forsaken at.
Mr. Harris, isn't that a bit strong?
Frankly, madam, I couldn't say because I don't know what it means myself. And now, folks, in conclusion, I thank you. Any questions?
Mr. Harris, if you're elected, what about women?
Women, I'll see that fellas get to meet them, honey. Yes, sir. If I'm elected, there'll be two chickens in every car.
Yes, and what about our taxes?
I'll abolish taxes.
What about jobs?
Everybody works. I've appointed 5,000 new tax collectors. Yes, sir, and I'll also abolish inflation, deflation, and arrange for monetary stabilization.
Yes, indeed, folks. Vote for Harris, a man who was born in the South, a man who has lived in the South, and a man we hope will die in the South.
Thank you, Colonel Emma's beautiful words. Now, if you'll all join in my campaign song.
Send Phil to Congress. Send Phil to Congress. He'll lower taxes and raise your pay. Things will be better, oh, how much better, in this state will Phil Harris away.
The foregoing program was paid for by Senator Claghorn. The late George Gershwin continues to live on through his music, so it's a great thrill to know that they found a new song with his name on it. It's a lovely tune to which his brother Ira has written equally lovely lyrics. For you, for me, forevermore, it's now to Detroit, where the noted commentator and editor, Mr. Henry LaCosset, is waiting to speak to you. Okay, Detroit, and Henry LaCosset.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Tomorrow night at the Dearborn Inn, the Ford Motor Company is giving a dinner for 93 people. These 93 guests of honor are all Ford employees. They are completing their 35th year of service with the company. Henry Ford, founder of the company, will be there. So will Henry Ford II, president of the company. These 93 people started work for Ford in 1911, when the company had only one manufacturing plant. This was at Highland Park, Michigan. There were but two assembly plants, one at Dallas, one at Fargo, North Dakota. And there were only 4,364 people working for Ford. Now 123,000 people work at Ford. So the guests of honor at tomorrow's dinner were in on the beginnings of tremendous progress. Incidentally, they are active in practically every division of the Ford company. For instance, three of them are in engineering, five in the production foundry, nine in final assembly, five in administration, but I can't even begin to cover the variety of work they do. I think that will be a happy party tomorrow night, a gathering of the Ford family, of the people who helped to make the Ford idea work, more cars and better cars every year. And now, back to the Ford Show and Dinah Shore in Hollywood.
Thank you, Mr. Lacasse.
The way you wear your hat, the way you sip your tea, the memory of all that. No, no, they can't take that away from me, the way your smile just beams. The way you sing off key, the way you haunt my dreams. No, no, they can't take that away from me. We may never, never meet again on a bumpy road. Still I'll always, always keep a memory of the way you hold your knife, the way we dance the three, the way you've changed my life.
Back next Wednesday evening to spend part of Christmas with you. Our guest will be that much-loved tenor, Lawrence Melchior.
Lawrence Melchior? Mm-hmm. Dinah, you'll probably wind up with a Danish accent.
Not unless Mr. Melchior sings That's What I Like About Denmark.
Hey, that reminds me, I forgot to sing That's What I Like About the Sound.
And that's what I liked about this program. Good night, Hot Shot.
Good night, folks.
Good night, Dinah. Thank you.
Good night, folks.
Appears with the courtesy of the F.W. Fitz Company. Be with us again next Wednesday night when the Ford dealers and Lincoln Mercury dealers of America again bring you Dinah Shore with Peter Lynn Hayes and Robert Emmett Dolan and his orchestra. Next week, by arrangement with Metro Goldwyn Mayer, our guest will be Mr. Lawrence Melchior. In addition, we will have the St. Brendan's Boys Choir. This is CBS Columbia Broadcasting System.